Hello, everyone. Welcome to a newest episode of the You Should Run podcast. I'm your host, Tony Heil, council member in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania, which is near Philadelphia, and by now is finally moving into the yellow stage of opening, which means my tears of sadness are slightly turning into tears of joy as my children can hopefully leave the house for a few minutes. If you've listened to the podcast in the last few months, and actually a couple years now almost, you have heard from people who have run for office from Florida to Alaska, from California to Maine, and many points in between. And I'm finally glad to have my first guest from the great state of Michigan. His name is Jason Morgan from Washtenaw County, and he's going to talk about his experiences running, what it's like in Michigan, and some very topical issues that came up after we decided to have this conversation. Before I get into this, I encourage you to subscribe and listen to past episodes from people who have run for office, again, at all levels of government, from borough council and local mayor and judge to state representative to members of Congress and even statewide office holders like Senate. With this in mind, first I want to thank Ashley Van Orney from Iowa, who has helped me get so many guests on the show, including Jason. And Jason, thank you for taking time to talk today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to be with you, Councilman.
And Jason, you have a pretty impressive resume of your own. You have done a lot of work before running for office. So the question I always start with before I get into any sort of topical issue is, when did you start paying attention to the world in a political way?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I started paying attention back in high school through regular debates with my rather conservative high school history teacher. Her and I would end up in very frequent, rather spirited debates. I would have never had any idea in a million years that I would actually run for office one day, but I certainly was interested in it from a pretty young age.
Yeah, and hopefully it was a good teacher, even if you may have had disagreements.
Oh, she was my favorite teacher. She was a track and cross-country coach and would run with us during practice. So we would actually end up getting into such spirited debates that the other cross-country players would run faster to avoid having to listen to us. So we felt like we were doing our civic duty there.
Yeah, this sounds like a movie now. Yeah, I think right now, obviously you're not on school board, but you see all the issues around education with the quarantine going on across the country. And, you know, you just explained how the value of a teacher, especially in person, right?
Oh, yeah, it is such a different level. And I have taught before as well. I taught intro to government at Washtenaw Community College here in our community. And that in-person relationship that you can form with students and teachers, it makes such a huge difference because you actually know each other and you know what the needs are of students as you're doing that work, which makes all the difference in the world to how you communicate with them.
Yeah. So the one reason we got together, obviously through social media and Ashley, is the YEO Network, Young Elected Officials. You were just listed, right, in the 35 under 35?
Yes, I was very honored to be listed as one of the many really great people in the 35 under 35 list.
And I bring that up, one, I really love YEO. I've been a member. I thankfully got elected when I was young enough to be included. And I have nothing but good things to say about them if you're a young elected person in this country. But I bring it up because you obviously decided to run for office at a younger age than other people. What was it that, when did you decide that you weren't going to just debate people or argue about things or complain on the internet, which you can still do, but you decided that you were going to run for office?
You know, I think a lot of it came from working for a gentleman named John Dingell, who was the longest serving member of Congress in U.S. history. Before that, I had ended up working for a member of Congress, and I had interned for Hillary Clinton's campaign in 2008. But I then was able to get a job about over a decade ago now, working for Congressman Dingell, who was somebody who found this unique way of just connecting with people. He was so genuine and sincere, but also a powerhouse of how to get things done for your community. And he always just had this amazing sense of public service that has always stuck with me. And I think just spending a couple years working for him, I eventually realized that I wanted to be one of those elected officials who carried that approach, who just sincerely and genuinely cared about their people that they represent and spent every ounce of their energy doing that. And I think that's where a lot of it came from.
Yeah, I remember, I've never met the congressman, but I remember when he passed away and people were sharing his famous Twitter feed, right? Because he had some of the best quips of anybody, even at such an old age.
Yes, he was notorious for his Twitter, and he loved it. He would get such a big kick out of just being able to send a zinger on Twitter here and there. He would just he had this amazing laugh, and it was just infectious. And to just hear that, I can still hear it in my head today. He loved it. He loved being able to just make people laugh while also making really pointed statements about things and saying the things that needed to be said.
And he was so important not only to Michigan, but to the entire country. He was there at the signing for the Affordable Care Act, right?
He was. He was there for the signing of the Affordable Care Act. It was his bill, among many other things. He had worked at Medicare and Social Security, and his father had cared about those issues even long before him. So healthcare in particular has been, or was, the sort of centerpiece of his life and what he cared about.
And I bring that up to talk not just about him in general, but he's a good example of, and what you're talking about being an example and a mentor to others, whether he's teaching you directly or having good people to look up to and say, that's what I would like to become.
Yes. And really, I mean, it's been educational to me to really carry that message on. I have a number of friends who are younger folks working in politics these days, and a number of friends who also worked for Congressman Dingell. And when he passed away last year, a lot of us were talking, and we sort of started realizing that what we can do to carry on his memory and his legacy is to do that same thing, is to mentor other young people, pull people up to get them involved in government and politics as well, and really just sort of give them that spirit of service and what it means to just do your work, because that's just what you do. You serve people.
And so you decided to serve by running for office in Washtenaw County. What was it that you decided to run for? And, you know, what are those issues that, you know, you were working on congressional things. Now it's a bit more local. What were you hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, so I ran for county commission, which a lot of people have no idea what that is. More people do these days because counties have been on the front lines of handling the public health crisis. That is one of the largest things that we do as county government, is manage public health and community mental health and all of these human service programs that are supporting people through this crisis. But I ran for that level of government because I wanted to do policy and just serve people. The difference between like city council, you guys do really amazing stuff that people see every day, and it's exciting, and it's people, I think, pay a lot more attention to it. But I thought, no, that's not really, like, I just don't like that side of it as much. What I really like is the sort of broader policy, the human services that we work on, rather than some of the buildings and zoning and all of the essential services that cities do. I really like the human services policy. And so that's why I decided to run for county commission.
And, you know, you, again, a member of YEO, a younger person. At what age did you decide to run for office?
I was, let's see, it was 2016 was when I got elected. And so I guess I'm 30 now.
Oh, my
How
God.
How long ago was that? So about 26? math wasn't my strong suit here.
No, it just... I turned 40 in a few days, and I feel very old, especially since we've all aged 50 years in the last 2 months.
Yes. I feel like I've aged 50 years. Absolutely. So yeah, I guess I was about 26.
And, you know, a lot of people, especially now, maybe not, but they're looking at leadership and a steady hand, someone who knows, you know, what's going on with these crises with, and not just with COVID, though it's the most important thing, but other issues as well, like the environment and the economy. You know, do you feel that you were prepared, especially as a young person? Do you think do you think it was important to have that young voice in that level of government that might not have been there otherwise?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the youngest person on our board of commissioners currently, and to my colleagues' credit, they elected me chair of our board this last year, and I have the honor of being our first ever LGBT chair, and really helping lead our county. And I didn't expect to be going through as much as we're going through now. No. I mean, the last time we had a county emergency was decades ago that nobody can even remember. So it's a bit more unique these days than I would have expected. But I think having that younger voice, and more importantly, a just fresh perspective on things and a willingness to sort of think outside the box and look at bolder ideas, because I'm not just looking at the next 10 years, I'm looking at the next 50 years.
Right.
And I've found that to be the valuable perspective that I can bring to the table.
You know, now you brought that up, you said on the county level, really handling a lot of these big issues with the COVID crisis, and so many people, the president especially, and we'll get into that later, but are looking at the short term, whether it's this election or this summer, reopen now, etc. What are you looking at when you look at the long term of this? Because, like you said, your perspective is a little bit different than others.
Yeah, well, what I'm looking at is, when I declared a state of emergency in our county, some folks said, well, do we really need to do that? The state is declaring one. And I said, no, I think we do, because what it activates is our emergency operations mm-hmm. center. And they said, well, you could do that anyway. I said, no, but I want to expand that to be not just thinking about the public health emergency, which is obviously our biggest priority, but the long-term economic impacts and the mental health impacts, all of the other things that are happening as part of this, because this is more than just a public health emergency. It really is an economic, mm-hmm. public health, mental health, all these different aspects of it that we have to deal with. And so that's what I'm thinking about. And so as we navigate and make decisions now, we need to just be thinking about how are those going to impact our residents years down the line.
Yeah. And especially, you know, young people, the numbers of young people being unemployed from this, because so many of them were in the service work or are lower down on the totem pole, as it were, of the system where they work. You know, what do you think are the both the consequences of this and the long term solutions to make sure that, you know, younger people can get a foothold in this world?
Well, I mean, if you think about the challenges that the younger generations have faced here just in our lifetimes, I was born in 1989, and there have been wars and 9/11 and the Great Recession and now this. I mean, it's hard enough to figure out what you want to do with your life as it is,
right,
when you're a senior in high school or even a college student. This has got to be adding just so much more uncertainty to an already challenging world to navigate for young people. I just feel like I think we're getting, if anything, these generations that are our age and below, the biggest thing that they can learn is just to be adaptable,
mm-hmm.
because you never know what in the world is going to happen these days. To be able to be flexible and adaptable and ride out the wave of each new crisis, that seems to be what we have to do these days.
Yeah, it seems like 6 months ago, people were saying, oh, young people, they don't know what tough is. Look at them, avocado toast, which I don't know why that's a big deal. I've never had it. And now you look at it, and people who are younger than, I'm going to be 40, so people 40 and younger, again, 9/11, the Great Recession, the 2016 election, the consequences of that, immigration, and this, it's just been every few years a substantial crisis that you don't have time to recover from.
Yeah, no, And I remember, you know, so I've heard a million times in my life the story about how when somebody was a kid, they had to walk to school uphill both ways. And if, good Lord, if walking uphill both ways was the biggest crisis we had to face these days, then I'll take it. Yeah. Like, I will take that in a heartbeat. It's just unimaginable what kind of challenges we're going to be facing and what the people, the generations behind us are going to be facing. It's wild. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that younger people are getting some of the credit for what they're just making it through some of these things that I think is deserved.
So speaking of deserved or not deserved, a few days ago, we talked about on the phone for the podcast, and then you got in the news because you said, Mr. President, you shouldn't come here right now. That was not something you expected to have to do when you first ran for office, right?
It is not. Absolutely not. I did not expect to have to do that.
And what's the story there? He was coming in and in his role as president, but essentially as a campaign stop. And, you know, it's a big worry about how seriously he's taking this with masks, language, and being around people, right?
Right. And, you know, what I really do sincerely believe in respecting the office, and I try very hard, even though our community is very troubled by many of the things that Trump has been doing over the last 3 years. I try very hard to resist making statements about him and his visits. Mm-hmm. But on Wednesday morning, just the day before he was supposed to come to our community, he sent a tweet very directly threatening to withhold disaster aid from our state of Michigan. Well, we're battling one of the highest case counts of COVID-19 in the country. We have thousands of people losing their homes to once in 500 year flooding. We are facing true crises here in Michigan that just keep compounding. And he has the goal to threaten to withhold our disaster aid just because he doesn't like that our Secretary of State is doing her job of sending out absentee ballot applications to voters. It just seemed insane to me and really offensive. And I thought, okay, this is where I draw the line. I don't care what he says about who knows what in the world, but when he's threatening our aid and threatening our residents and our community so directly like this, the day before a visit, and particularly coming to my county, as the chair of our Board of Commissioners, we don't have an executive. I am the chief elected official in our county, and I thought, I just have to say something because I need him to hear the message that it is unacceptable to come into our community and threaten our people like this.
Yeah, I know. I know what it means to have the president come into your town. It's exciting no matter who the president is, but it's very worrisome with all these kind of aspects going on, especially when you, I'm sure, are trying to promote a face of taking the public health issues very, very seriously.
Right. We are working around the clock to try and keep people safe and provide accurate information in a world where there's a whole lot of inaccurate information out there. And when the president comes to town, people pay attention to what he says and what he does. And for us to having our people watch those things that he's saying and being misinformed is just, it truly is detrimental to the public health of our residents. And I just had to say something.
And, you know, one of the things I've noticed from talking with different people across the country about this is when there's a lack of national strategy, as there appears to be, and at least a lack of national approach. So maybe there is a strategy that comes from the top, but it's not being adhered to by everybody. It makes it harder to do your job as a county person, as a mayor, etc., because if you restrict things a certain way, and the county next to you or the state next to you doesn't with the same information, then it's hard for your residents to maintain their belief in your work and adhere to those rules.
Right, exactly. I mean, we have the president coming in just making these wild, inaccurate statements about just things as simple as voting and what our laws here are in Michigan that confuses people and makes them think they can't vote absentee or something like that. He's talking about ingesting, antibacterial things that clearly you should not do. You should not ingest disinfectants. And we have him telling people that masks aren't necessary when our public health experts are telling us that, yeah, masks are definitely necessary to help protect those around you when you're out in public. They're not perfect, but they help. And they not only help you, but they're more important for helping those you're coming into contact with. So it's just all of these things seem to compound. With him coming into our community like this, it's really undermining our efforts.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine the people you work with, the things that you wanted to deal with, are very hyper-local issues where you can see a difference. And so this throws a big curveball in terms of what you were hoping to accomplish.
Absolutely. And we really can't have somebody working against us when we're trying to keep people safe.
Yeah. And so what are the kind of things that you would like to replicate? You know, you get to work with a YEO network. You get to talk with people who are elected officials, whether through that or otherwise, in Michigan, other counties in your state, across the country. What are you hoping to see as, you know, you could be a leader and others can take from you, whether it's about COVID or just in general, that you hope to accomplish?
You know, one of the things I hope to accomplish here in Washtenaw County is just instilling a sense of accountability in the work that we do, a sense of genuineness in the work.
Mm-hmm.
So often in politics, I'm sure you've seen this, people are transactional. If you want to get something done,
yes,
you have to make some sort of deal with somebody or give them something. And that is not the way government should work. And I so often, I say that to people and they say, well, that is how it works. And that I will often say here locally, that's not how it has to work, especially not here locally. And it's something I'm constantly fighting back at. And one of the messages I gave to other commissioners when I was running to be chair of our board was that I think we need to end this idea of transactional politics. No matter who it is, if it's me or somebody that's an ally with me, is they're putting up a resolution or trying to get us to spend money. If it's a bad idea or it's not going to help our residents, say no. Don't do it just because you want to win favor or something like that. We are not transactional. We should all make decisions based on what we think is best for our residents. And that's how we should work as local government. It's truly how we should work at all levels, but we actually have the power to make sure that works like that here in Washtenaw County, and I just need people to work with me and do it.
I am silently applauding that answer. It's it's so important to me, and it discourages me. It not discourages me, but it disappoints me when I see how people are now viewing politics as transactional. It's not necessarily new. There was a talk in my county that years ago you couldn't get your trash picked up if you didn't register as a Republican, and it's like, well, why would we do that? That just doesn't make sense because we want the trash to be picked up.
Right.
And
you shouldn't have to make that any sort of compromise on that.
Right. It can be difficult. I'm sure you guys have public comment at meetings, right?
We do, yep.
And so, like, you have some people, I'm sure, in your community who you have to grit your teeth and listen to. And, you know, most people are great, and I don't mean to not – I love public comment, but you still want to work for them because they're your boss.
Yep, exactly.
And it gets very frustrating to hear people think that we're just in it for our friends or for our side or someone else's, because that creates a lot of distrust in government. And as a result, when you have issues like this, people don't trust us enough to wear a mask.
Right, and that's one of the things that I just feel like I, being a younger person in politics and having this, what I don't think should be seen as idealistic, but this idealistic view of good government is frequently perceived as being naive or unintelligent or something like that. And I will push back on people and say, no, I know exactly how things often work. I'm saying we can do better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we model that behavior, we can try and hopefully get others to model that behavior as well. If not in other places, then at the very least, those who come behind us in these roles at the county. So if we can be good and make decisions based on what the best policy is rather than what makes a friend or somebody else happy, then I think we can do a better job serving our community.
Do you think that that's one of the reasons why young people should step up and run to change the perception of politics, to show that government can be competent and can work?
Absolutely. So when I first was elected to the county commission, I would run into these challenges all the time of things being feeling transactional or directly being transactional. And I said, I'm not going to do that. So at one point when I started pushing back on that and asking a lot of questions of our administration, I was told, if you keep asking these questions, you just won't be given the same access. You won't be given the same access to information. People won't work with you. And I said, well, if that's how this is going to work, then what's the point of being in office? Mm-hmm. And so what I did is I went out and helped elect 4 out of our 9 county commissioners brand new. We elected 44% of our board brand new that very next election. 2 individuals lost their primaries, and then one of them won in an open general election seat. So we flipped the majority of our board and elected people who really share that value of how government should work. And it was amazing. And that's honestly probably the reason that I'm our chair these days.
Yeah, because when you're in government, you have to make allies. And that's not a bad, people look at it as playing politics. But when you can make good allies you can trust, it's very rewarding because hopefully they're taking your lessons of accountability and transparency and getting things done.
Right. And I had conversations with these folks who are running, and I explained my view on this and my passion for us just being better at serving our residents. And they shared that view. And I said, I'm going to help out and help get these good people elected, regardless of what it takes. And most people told me not to help a couple of these candidates because they would lose. And I said, I don't care if it means that these candidates lose and those who win end up disliking me once they get on the board, then so be it. But if I'm not going to put my entire heart and passion into this, to electing people who will believe in being better, then I don't want to do it. And so I just spent all of my time last election cycle making that happen. And we elected really good people. And after the election, I told them, you know, you don't have to feel any obligation to vote for me as chair. That was not why I helped you. Fortunately, they decided that I should be chair anyway. But I just wanted to make very clear to them that that was not in any way a condition of helping get them elected.
Yeah, and I know we're kind of close on time, but I just want to say that's one of the most rewarding things to me. It's more rewarding getting someone else elected sometimes than getting yourself elected, because you know what to expect. You know what you're going to get out of it. And you kind of know why that person needs to be there.
Exactly. We had somebody who was younger, had never run for office, and was a new mother running for office in our county. And people said, she's never going to be able to win. She can't. She just had a baby. She can't be campaigning. And I said, no, she's going to work her butt off. She did. And I said, she deserves our support. And she pulled it off. She won by less than 1%. And hopefully we can help her keep the seat this next election. But she worked really hard. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need. We need to support people who'll do that.
Yeah. And hopefully no one's calling her that woman from Washtenaw.
No, that's reserved for all of our statewide female elected leaders here.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. No one would expect Michigan to be the state that has so many prominent women at the top. That's a good thing.
Yeah, last election we swept everything. Our chief judge is Chief Justice of our Supreme Court is also a woman. So all of our Democratic women at the top here in Michigan are doing just an amazing job. And I can't believe Donald Trump keeps coming after them, because he seems to lose the Twitter battle every time.
Right.
But he just keeps trying.
Well, you can need to tell Pennsylvania some things, because we have a hard time electing women to statewide office.
Wow, yeah. Well, I think we used to. We don't seem to have that problem anymore here.
Great. Well, one thing we do have a problem with is getting people to run for office. There's so many elections where there's either no other candidate on the ballot, like there's just a Democrat, just a Republican, or there's a weak candidate on the ballot because someone just put their name on, and so it's a 90-10 election type of thing. So why should more people step up to run for office, especially right now, whether in 2020 or 2021 or beyond?
I think more people should run for office because I think we're seeing just how impactful and important individuals in these positions of leadership can be. And I would only tell people to run for office if they truly know the community that they're trying to represent, and they're in it for the right reasons, and they just want to serve their community. that's the reason to run for office. So if people believe in that idea, they should run for office whenever there's a good opportunity.
Awesome. Well, there's always some opportunity, whether it's from school board or alderman or mayor or whatever.
Exactly.
People need to step up. Jason, thank you so much. Good luck in Michigan. I'm hopeful to be there again sometime in my life. If people are interested in following you and learning more about your work and what you're doing, how can they do that?
Great. They can follow me on Facebook. If you search Commissioner Jason Morgan, you can find me on there. I'm on Twitter with the handle of Jason Morgan A2. And they can find me online.
Well, he may be A2. He's an A1 in my book. Jason Morgan, thank you so much. And I wish you the best of luck in everything you're doing.
Thanks so much. You too.